we did here. He'd like all the chairs taken down and the tables taken down for the kids this week. And also, if you, everybody turn around and look at those two beautiful gentlemen back here. They're next to some coolers, and in the coolers, we've got Hellworth yogurt in there. And they made some yogurt, and if you'd like to put a donation in there, and then all the money would be given to our Haiti, what we're working, our Haiti missions that we have going on there. Another real quick announcement for those on live stream here. We know, I don't know how else to say it, everything is backwards. Everything got turned around. So we have 0 6 2 0 2 on the screen, and ESIAPR. And that's because we're on a backup system. We don't know what caused why we can't go live anymore. I don't have a clue. It keeps giving us an error and an error and an error. So we basically went to the backup system. So that's why you're getting it. But at least you can see me, but I'm backwards. So this side is really this side. So now, for those who are on live stream too, you're going to lose me for about 5 minutes here, but you're going to hear me because I'm going to do something here for those over here to see. And there's really no place to do it, so I have to come over here with it. How many of you remember these old overhead projectors? Okay. How many school teachers we got in here? Anyone? Did you still use them, or do you use those smart boards?
No, I don't have a smart board. I have a projector. One
overhead projector. And if anyone was involved in the missionary church at all, there was a man named Dr. Gary. And he would always preach with this in the 1980s, and you always have that up there. And Dr. West Gary, and even in college when I had him, he'd have this thing right here. And so that's how he taught everybody. But I have some here, and any math teachers here? You're a math teacher. Okay, so here we go. So we'll see how good we are at this. So can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay, let me know. There we go. 9 times 1 equals 9. Ah, I got the wrong side here. Okay. 18.
What? It says minus 18.
Thank you. Can you see it? Okay, good. 6. How do you like that for an intro? Boom! Wow! Say what? Thanks, Ben. Okay, that was an illustration, by the way. My best subject in school was actually math, believe it or not. My worst subject was English, and when I was in elementary school, they didn't know what to do with me because we only had two classes, and one was a smart class, one was a not so smart class, and they kept switching. And so for math, they put the smart kids together. For English, they put the smart kids together in one class and we kind of shared. Well, I was too smart for this class, but I was too dumb for this class. So so what do you do with a kid that's smart in math, but he can't comprehend English? You give him self-study. So I sat in a cubicle all by myself, and then I had to read, and of course, you know, I got a reading disability. So, I mean, okay, so when my kids were in school, I basically kept asking the teachers, is this an experiment? I'm a product of an experiment, all this other stuff. But why is it that we normally focus on the mistakes? Why do we do that? For example, how many are thrilled that IU is going to go to the semifinals? I knew you would say that. In our first service, we had somebody that was all excited too. Of course, you know I'm from Indiana, so, and I live in Ohio, so it's fine with me, whatever way it goes. But how many of you watched the Ohio State game? Okay. How many of you were just like, oh, I can't believe the mistakes that they made? You see, it's easy for us to look at the mistakes, but forget about the fact that they went 12-0 until IU eventually beat them. Forget about the fact that a year ago, they won the national championships, and we were all excited about that. Forget about the fact that a great revival started on Ohio State campuses because of the Ohio State football team. Forget about all of that, but they made a mistake. They made a mistake. We, for some reason, we as human beings like to look at the negative versus the positive. So I asked a question, and I put it on online, and I said, I basically asked the question, why do we as human beings normally look at the mistakes versus the victories? And this is what it came up with. First, our brains are biased towards threat. And psychologists call it the negativity bias, where we see something negative, it becomes a threat to us. So when I made those three mistakes on there, it was a threat to you. You thought you're going to die or something, I don't know. The other one is mistakes feel unfinished. A victory feels complete, but a mistake keeps asking for attention. What went wrong? What if that happens again? Our minds replay errors over and over and over again. Thirdly is, humility can quietly turn into self-accusation. And that's a problem in the church. And why do I say that? Because when something good happens, we are trained to say, God's grace gave it to us. And we praise God for it, which I think we should. However, when there's a mistake, we say, it was all my fault. Or I'm the bad one. Sometimes a mistake is just nothing more than just a mistake. The fourth one is, in our culture, we tend to reward criticism more than gratitude. What gets more views on Facebook when you criticize something, when there's something negative? Try putting something positive on there, and you'll get probably half the likes that you will if you criticize something. I've noticed in the last 3 or 4 months, Facebook has become a cesspool of criticism. It's just like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I noticed this even in the Christian church, where Ben, being our youth leader, and I, we would go to like Kings Island, that Praise Fest thing that's down there, or Cedar Point, we went up there 1 year. And the musicians would do the same thing. They all had the same testimony. I remember leaning over to Ben, I said, here's the testimony, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. And then they started giving their testimony. One, two, three. They all did the same. You wanna know what it is? My wife was falling apart. I didn't know where to turn. I turned to Christ, and now I'm saved, and I'm a new person. Let's pray. Let's sing. And that every one of them was the same thing, except for one, and that was Crowder. And I went, I can't remember going, one, maybe he didn't do it. Two, he still didn't do it. See, what Crowder did was this, and I think this is something we need to look at in the church is this. He says, I grew up in a Christian home, and I avoided a lot of the pitfalls that a lot of you go through. And God has given me grace throughout my life, and I'm praising for that. That's great! Because we tend to focus on the negative. The people who are negative all of a sudden become pop stars and everything else, even in the church. I think one of the greatest testimonies found in any church is someone who was born in the church, was raised in the church, and gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and avoided a lot of the pitfalls that Satan wants to bring us our way. And they maintained their faith from day one all the way to day today. That is a greater miracle, in my opinion, than anyone who says, my life fell apart, I came to Christ, and now look at me, I'm a new creation. I think it's somebody who was raised in the church. But we don't hear about those people. We always hear about those whose lives fell apart. Now, for those of you who say, I came from a life fall apart, I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ worked in your life. I'm 100% thankful. I'm just saying that we got a whole group here that says, you know, God, where are you in my life? Because I didn't go through this. I've always followed you faithfully. And so we have that instinct to be able to look at the negative and versus the positive. And so God repeatedly calls his people throughout the Old Testament to have memorials about what God has done, not what God has not done. So Israel is called to build memorials, not just repentance rituals, but more memorials. David, before he killed Goliath, looked at his past deliverances that God gave him, and that gave him strength to go after Goliath. Paul acknowledged struggle, but anchored his identity in victory, where in Romans chapter 1, he says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I look at Psalm 103. Here it is. Praise the Lord! My soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of an eagle. So the psalmist, David, starts out this psalm with positive praise. Now, I'll be honest, the majority of David's Psalms do have, where are you, O God? Why haven't you delivered me? A lot of them are that way, but this one is nothing more than a psalm of praise, where we're giving praise. And so what is he thanking God for? He's thanking him for his forgiveness from his sins, his heals from his diseases, he redeems my life from the pit, he satisfies our desires with good things, and so my youth is renewed like an eagle because of all that God has done for us. And so we have just completed 2025. We are now in 2026. 2025, we look back, what is done, what is not done, and then we always look to the future of the new year. So let's look at Mount Tabor in the last year. Let's look at what happened. Okay, so we started out the year with a question that was given to us by the denomination. The question is, should Mount Tabor be instrumental in starting a Christian school in Mercer County, Ohio? You remember that? And so the board started praying, and the elders are praying as well. Is this something that God wants us to do? Now, we're honored that the denomination looked at us as one to do that. And we went to prayer, because that's exactly what God wants us to do, is go to him in prayer. And I'll be honest, to this day, we still do not have a clear direction on what God wants us to do in that area. We had a meeting 2 months ago, and we discussed it in a board meeting. And we're looking for one thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is. We're looking for basically one specific thing. And if that comes out, it's going to produce some momentum. But it's God's the one that's going to have to raise it up. Because something that big has to be God, not just us. Later on that year, we had 110 children that were involved in the T-ball program. We had 100 children that got involved with Vacation Bible School. 2 years ago, Mount Tabor, by the way, started a meal for the football program at Parkway. You remember that? We had them come in here. They were sitting over there. We gave them a meal. Jim Gray gave them a motivational speaking and whatnot. And it has since moved to the New Horizons Church. Logistics. I mean, it's nothing against us. It's just that it's closer. And the coaches were a little concerned about the fact that, you know, the kids are driving all the way here and then driving back and everything else. And so we started that. And at the candlelight service for Christmas Eve, we had a parent approach me, kind of associated with the church, but not really. But the parent approached me and says, my child, through that program, wants to be baptized. Oh, okay. So the elders, by the way, we've had a renewed emphasis on prayer and fasting on every Friday, which I told you, every Friday we're fasting and praying for the church. Basically, my fast starts on the Thursday evening. I eat supper, then I won't eat for 24 hours, and then I'll eat again for Friday evening. But during that time, it's fasting and prayer. It's funny because I remember one of the elders called me up one day, and he goes, you know, I'm committed to this church. I go, why are you committed to this church? Why today they're bringing in chicken wings to this company for everybody to eat, and I can't eat it. And I go, well, guess what? We went to Sam's Club in Lyman with all the free samples, and I couldn't eat that either. So there. We're prayer walking through the Mendon area every Tuesday night. The Mendon Church has seen growth and baptisms. 4M, that's in Mendon, the men's group that meets in Mendon at the fire hall, is full. We need to bring another chair in, by the way. If we probably should bring in another table, I mean. We've helped canvas Mendon area for Vacation Bible School for the Mendon Church. They saw a growth in their Vacation Bible School this past year. We've gained 5 new members, and we have 5 members that are in membership class, 5 to be members in membership class right now. The church board gave money to the hurricane victims in North Carolina. The church board gave money to the hurricane victims in Jamaica. The Elder Fund, I'm estimating that we helped 25 families through the Our Home organization in Celina with rent and utilities. We have one of our members that's directly involved in evangelism downtown Celina, and this member is also wanting to start a member or an evangelistic class within Mount Tabor, which is great. Our children's ministry is exploding. It is not unheard of for us to hear that we have 50 children back there, and the poor women are going, oh. We had a wonderful children's worship a few weeks ago. We have had baptisms and salvations, and I even heard of a salvation the last day of 2025. A parent sent me a note on that. That's great. On the negative side, you know, offerings have been flat. That is a universal issue that's happening in all churches. And that is concerning. I have not looked at the budget for this past year. I do know we went behind, but the main reason why we went behind this year is we had some unexpected repairs in the church. We had to replace 4 doors. I believe 4 or 5 doors went 1, 2, 3, 4 doors, and that was $11,000. That was unexpected. But, you know, so we look at this, and I just want to share some of the good things that are happening. I mean, I could share a negative thing. Man, somebody put a mark in that carpet. I can't believe that. And so the good thing that's coming up for this year is we do have an evangelistic class starting at Mount Tabor for those who desire to teach you how to share your faith. It's not to teach you how to bring somebody to Christ. It's how to share your faith. There's a big difference there. Because what God wants us to do is to share the good news. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring somebody to Christ. A grant has been written for that evangelistic program here at the church through the Great Lakes Foundation. I'm pretty sure we're going to get that grant. There's also another grant has been submitted for remodeling to happen on that side of the church. As many of you know, that church needs some remodel, so we're going to be looking at that. If you've been in the women's restroom, which I only go in there to fix things, down there, it needs to be worked on. So we have all these things that are happening. My question that I have to constantly ask is, How can Mount Tabor continue to reach out and share the gospel with other communities in our area, including that of Mendon and what about Neptune? We need to share the good news. I mean, there's so much potential here, so much. And I believe that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to go forward in a lot of these areas. So with this in mind, what do the scriptures say that we're to do? Praise the Lord. Praise Him for the victories. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It doesn't say look for the negative things. It says think about the things that God is doing. Now, this is not a sermon on positivity thinking, you know, we have that going around. And that's not what this is. What this is a sermon on holy thinking. Because then you start seeing what God is doing. And you start praising Him even more. Now, it doesn't mean we don't ignore the negative. We don't let the negative continue on. We don't let sin continue on. But it does mean that we look at what God is doing now and we give Him praise. God is doing more in Mount Tabor than what not doing. Does that make sense? And we as Mount Tabor must have childlike faith. Let me give you an illustration. If you followed me on Facebook, you know that we had a wonderful time coming back. So we're in Kansas City, Fort Leavenworth, and it's time for us to come back. We were flying back on New Year's Day. And about an hour before we were to get to the airport, my phone dings. I looked down. Okay, the flight's delayed. All right. We got to the airport. My son-in-law dropped us off, and my phone dings Lynn. Ding! Flight's delayed again. Then we start calculating. Well, we're not going to make our next flight. All right, so we go to the gate agent, we work it out. Your next flight is the next day. So then we call up my son-in-law and say, okay, we got two churches. We can stay at a hotel, which is fine, or you can come pick us up. Of course, we got chewed out for you giving that illustration or that idea. So he comes and picks us up. I didn't know this, but my wife's on the other phone, and she goes, well, tell Gracie her prayers have been answered. We're coming back. I go, what do you mean? And she goes, Gracie, my granddaughter, was praying that we would spend another night. Oh, okay. So we go and we spend another night. We have what we call a slumber party and everything else that we do there. And then the next day we hop in the car, we head to the airport, and ding, my flight's delayed again. I turned around my granddaughter and I said, stop your praying. We have to go home. And she smiled. What do you think that did to her faith? What do you think that did to her faith? She goes, and to this day, I bet you she's at church right now going, I pray that grandma and grandpa stayed an extra night. And they had to stay an extra night. Now, I don't think that God changed the weather patterns just so that our flight would be late. He could have, just to teach my granddaughter a lesson. But I do believe that God can use that to teach her a lesson. The teacher on value of prayer and teaching our young children that prayer is important and valuable and powerful. So when you see those little opportunities in your own family, be it your grandchildren or your own children, seize those opportunities to teach them the importance of prayer faith. And how are we to pray? Luke chapter 18 gives us that illustration. It says, then Jesus told his disciples the parable how they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him and pleaded, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And God brings about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So what Jesus is pointing out is our prayer life needs to be continual over and over and over until we get an answer. And God promises that he's going to answer us. Now, the answer may not be what we want. It is yes, no, wait, not your way, but my way. If God answered every prayer yes, then we would have 300-year-old people sitting in our pews. Because I guarantee that all of you were praying for somebody to live. And God took them home. I guarantee it. What in the world is that? All right. So that was a mistake. And you all focused on it. You just totally destroyed my illustration. Okay. Okay. So. I just thought I'd have something neat up. Oh, get that guy off of it. Normally we have scripture on this app, on this screen, but I put it up here, and so I wanted something here so it didn't look black, and you know, okay. All right, so let's get back to something important. What was I saying? So God answers it, yes, no, wait, not your way, but my way. It's kind of like a GPS. Remember when GPS first came out? Huh, you have no idea. And people were falling off bridges, literally. They were falling off bridges. They were getting hit by trains because they followed exactly what the GPS said. I remember I was with one of my elders in my last church, and he goes, this is a neat little thing, and he pulls it up, and we ended up at a dead end with a railroad track in front of us. And he goes, oh, I guess it doesn't work that well. So, but now they are something. But imagine driving a GPS, and you put it in a destination, confident you know what the best route, and as you start driving, the GPS speaks. Sometimes it says, proceed to the rock, route. And that's God saying yes. You asked and he allowed you to move forward. Sometimes it says, route unavailable. That means God says no. Not because the destination is wrong, because the road might harm you. There's a bridge out. Or take you somewhere you didn't intend to go. Sometimes it says nothing at all. That means that the map and the stream and the miles pass by. That's a wait. Silence is an absence. It's preparation. Timing matters as much as the destination. Sometimes, right when you're sure you know the way, the GPS interrupts us, recalculating. How many of you love that one? That's not your way, but my way. A better route, a safer route, one that you cannot see from where you started. In the end, the GPS isn't trying to frustrate you, it's trying to get you home. And God hasn't answered prayers to satisfy our preferences. He's answering prayers to fulfill his purpose. So when God says yes, we rejoice. When God says no, we trust. When he says wait, we remain faithful. And when he says no, not your way, but my way, we follow, because his way is always leads exactly where we need to go. As I said, every Friday the elders are praying for you. They're praying for God's direction, and I invite you to be part of that. I invite you to be part of that. Take Friday off, fast and pray. Take Friday and pray specifically for the church. Pray for me. Pray for the direction of the church. Pray for the school. Pray that God will give us direction. I tell you, every time that I've seen God really work, it's been a result of prayer. And I can tell you story after story after story after story after story that when a church starts praying, weird, wonderful things start happening. So let us be a church of prayer. Start your prayers with rejoicing at what God has done versus what He has not done. Thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him for your forgiveness. Thank Him for His protection. Thank Him for His provision. Thank Him for His past deliverances. Remember what He has done and thank Him. Just as the last half of Psalm 103 states, praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let us be a praise church that gives Him thanks. That's what worship is all about, is giving Him praise. Let's pray. And Father, we thank You for Your goodness upon us. We thank You for last year. We thank You for the salvations of last year. We thank You for the baptisms of that last year. And Lord, we're just awed that You have chosen us to do Your work. May we be a church of praise and prayer. May we hold on to all the prayer. And may we trust in You. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. You'll stand with us. We're going to close this morning with the song we sang earlier, Hosanna, Praise is Rising. Let's just lift our voices together again and start off 2026 just praising Jesus' name. Together, individually, every day of our lives.
When we see You, we find strength. straight, face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. When we see you, we find strength to face the day.
Invite you to pray with us on Fridays as well. Prayer is the key. So anyway, let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness upon us. May this be a year that 1 year from now we look back and we literally go, wow. We know that you have a lot in store for us. We thank you for that. Guide us, direct us, and Lord, may your blessing be upon us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.
When we see you, we find strength.